You are listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast. Welcome to this special extra-long edition of Kapiti Poets, a celebration for Matariki and the winter solstice, to mark the reappearance of the Matariki star cluster in our skies and the Maori New Year. For the benefit of listeners overseas, the Matariki stars have other names throughout the world. The ancient Greek name is the Pleiades. I'm your host, Ingrid Prosser, performance poet from Paraparaumu, and I'm joined in the studio by poet Jill Hemming, whom I interviewed for the programme last year. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks, Ingrid. It's great to be here, and it's a great joy to be back again.
Lovely, thank you. We'll both be reading some of our poetry, and we'll have poems also from Nicola Easthope and Michael O'Leary, both of whom also appeared in our first series. In addition, threaded throughout the programme will be music composed by my husband, Colin Decchio. He also wrote the theme music for Kapiti Poets, which you'll have just heard. That's an extract from his Piano Trio No. 3. For this Matariki episode, we'll have 9 extracts, one for each of the 9 stars of Matariki, from Colin's piece, Space Ride Through an Abundance of Splendours. In the course of the programme, we'll be honouring those who have passed, whether they're distant ancestors or our own lost loved ones, and also celebrating the present and looking forward to the future.
In the stories, the ancestors go to the stars or even become stars. I remember seeing my grandmother go over. I was in Tonga at church at the time, and I knew she was dying back in Christchurch, but I knew when I saw her go over the top of the chapel I was standing in, and she was perfect.
Wow.
Before that, she'd been in pain and miserable and complaining and hurting and not wanting to be here, and suddenly she was whole. It was the most wonderful thing to see.
Oh, So what sort of age were you when that happened?
I was in my early 20s.
Oh, how wonderful to have that experience so young. Whoa, that's made me get all sort of goosebumpy all over.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Beautiful.
Well, let's start this feast of music and poetry with the first extract from Space Ride, which is called Alien Landscapes, followed by my poem Winter Peace, which I wrote in the winter of 2017. Winter peace. The days and nights of gentle winter, when the sun hangs unimpeded in the blue, when the moon at the full shines her silvery path across the black of the sea, when the stars of the night glow bright in their light, sparkling in the patterns that we know. Constellations and clusters in the cosmos, travelling, plain for all to see. Ah, Matariki, there you are. You have returned to us once more. Shapely in the black void of space, they gather and dance, shining, sparkling, glowing in the nights of this gentle winter early. Here's a poem from Nicola Easthope, in which she remembers her father.
Rare, in memory of Dad, 1936 to 2022. On a rare evening, the sea's sun flash sinks to green, like a sudden flatline without the machine. Do you remember when you dance us in daylight, one child buoyant on each sea-skin slipper. In each bedroom, you'd dusk us, somewhere, my love, to sleep. Your lucky shoulders, one for each. Steady we go. Now we are thrown by the curve of the horizon.
I'm very excited to hear from you, Jill, now about your new poetic epic, from which you're going to be sharing a few extracts. Will you tell us all about it?
Thanks, Ingrid. I've always loved mythology. As a child, I absorbed the stories in the old dusty Arthur Mee encyclopedias in the bookshelf, and I was really upset when my mother swapped them out for a new, shiny, materialistic science set, which was so boring. So there's a link between mythology and astrology.
Yeah.
And it's called, it has a name, Archaeoastronomy.
Right, yeah, great.
It's very official.
Yes.
And it's where the old astrologer priests connected astronomical knowledge, the calendar, religious beliefs and ritual.
Yeah, right.
Some took Earth up to heaven, took the heroes of Earth up to the heavens and read up there like pictograms of long past events frozen that could be regularly reread. Others brought heaven down to Earth. The stars were telling what would happen on Earth. Mm. We're very used to that kind of astrology. So both ways, up or down, stories, mythologies were actually written in the stars to be read and
yes.
forever remembered. So yeah. before there was paper or carving on rocks or anything like that, there were the stars.
Yes.
And the stories were written there. So in my Matariki poetry epic, from which I'm reading parts today, I've placed the stars in the heaven and they send their pattern down to Earth. So that's the way I'm doing it. Using words and stories from sources and dreams, I've brought them down, mythology for this land, these islands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
With the prayer, because this is like a huge imaginal task that has taken a year to do.
Yeah.
May the words of my heart and the meditations of my soul be acceptable in your sight.
Oh, that's really nice. Well, thank you for that really lovely introduction to these pieces. We're going to hear five extracts from the epic throughout the programme. And we'll start with one of the early ones shortly. That's called Navigator, Night One. And before that, we'll hear another extract from Space Ride called Star Clusters.
To begin at the beginning, we read above what lies beneath our feet. Before the dawn of the first day, as Matariki rises anew, is written in the stars the story of our coming to be. Let us look up, track our bearing, set our sights and watch over six nights as our story unfolds. And the great geometry is placed. For before the sun, the moon, the sea, before the wind, before these islands, long before us, a fellowship of Ariki built a structure above which contains all that is needed for our living shape. And when these six nights have passed, on the first day, The sun will rise over the swell around these islands, and we, new as the year is new, will have begun again.
Thank you for that lovely beginning, Jill. I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest. And how lucky we are to have this world to live and create in, with our sun and moon and the winds and the seas and the land. Our next poem, written by me, celebrates the wind in its various forms and owes thanks to the air elementals, the sylphs, who are continually phrasing their ceaseless movement of becoming on the front line of weather creation. That's a quote from Susan Raven's book, Nature Spirits, The Remembrance. So here's my poem, The Wind, followed by an extract from Space Ride, which has a lot of names, this one, Cygnus 11, Redshift and Beyond the Event Horizon. The Wind. High on the hill, perched in our eyrie, we listen to the wind blowing into our bay. It sings in our chimney with an irony whine, and the house cracks and creaks and snaps and shakes. It catches in the trees, and rushing amidst the leaves creates a continuous susurrant sound, a rustling, a whispering, a sibilant murmuration that may speak softly, but often rises to a roar, filling the bay from hill to hill with whipping chaos and thunder. Let's follow that with your next extract, Jill.
Thanks, Ingrid. Just to introduce, every night, there are six nights, has three speakers.
Right.
So we've met the navigator, now we're going to meet the physicist. I love modern physics. And, of course, the catastrophe science is awesome. So from Velikovsky, who was a friend of Einstein, who wrote about all the catastrophes that occurred on Earth, to the modern researchers, to the quantum physics, to the new science of heaven and earth. The explanations and the language is phenomenal.
Great, great. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
Night five, the physicist speaks. Here's Einstein. The religion of the future is the religion of space. Fair enough. No argument there, but do not be so foolish as to think that you'll get in a spaceship and go somewhere else to enter it. This space is the dwelling place inside of us. This space is the dwelling space outside of us. Raise your heads. Listen to the poetry of meaning, that ancient intuitive language which is not and will never be the plain prose of materialism. The lex, the law by which we walk, is the word spoken by the goddess. It's her magical pronouncement, her voice ringing through space, without source, sounding everywhere, carrying a mountain top of vision and of wings, passing in us and through us. We, the bioplasmic beings, dance to her mysterious melody. She, who the gods seek, sets off the vibration which entangles us, liberates us, both together. being entry and exit to this world of ours. Swim in space. Free yourselves from this prison. Extend the circle of your compassion to embrace all living things and nature in all its beauty. Find the balance between terror and wonder. Everything is energy, and that is all that there is. This is poetry. This is physics. This is, no less than, general relativity. We are not atom. We are not molecule. We are plasma and particle. Charge, spin, rotation, song, sound, resonance. We are that which by her word alone was called into being. There is no place we can go and not be her song.
Wow, that was so powerful. I remember when I read it, when you first gave it to me, and I felt the power of it, just reading it to myself and hearing it. It's so much more powerful. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. And I want to ask you, there was one little thing. When you talk about, you say the lex and the law, can you explain what lex means?
The lex is a Latin word for law.
Right.
So it's the law by which we live, and it's from the white goddess. So it's a reference to the goddess.
Excellent. I'm so glad we understand that now. Brilliant. Thank you. Sometimes our song is a sad one, like Michael O'Leary's poem Okahu Bay from his book Live in Inner Auckland, which was set to music for an album of the same name. Here it is, sung by Meg Prasad with her mother Hilda Prasad on the piano. They also composed the music.
Ka ore mo te aroha.
In a moment, we'll hear Liftoff from Space Ride, and then Jill's next extract, Physicist Day One. Jill, will you tell us a little bit about it?
So in the epic, just have to imagine this now, we've gone through the six nights and the sun has risen. And now we're going to hear the final three poems over time.
Yes.
The first one of what happens when the sun rises and the light shines. Day one, the physicist speaks. Inside our plasma universe, the galactic curve sheet, endlessly rippling, gyrating in waves, rotating over great time, passes in us and through us, squeezing our sun, which blasts out a coronal shockwave to feed the ripple, pulsing it onward and outward. Bang! Flash! Darkness! The sun does nova, leaving us dismembered. Here on Earth, we are hit hard. The crust and mantle unlock, the Earth flips over, and the newborn sun stands still. It was, it is, the making of us. Our water world transforms. Continents and islands rise up. Ocean currents swell and swamp in response to the beat of the inner core. The solar wind roars, delivering and dumping plasma dust. It is catastrophe. It is potentiality. Remembered, spoken, recorded. Our story, written in the stars, time over longest time.
Thank you. Another powerful one and dramatic. I think my brother would have liked that poem. That concludes part one of the Kapiti Poets special episode for Matariki. Part two continues next Wednesday at 4 p.m. You have been listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast.
This programme was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio with support from New Zealand On Air.